Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 197 of Nerd Pride Radio. 197, in hexadecimal, that'd be C5.
Yahtzee!
The script clearly says you sank my battleship.
Is that what that says?
You suck at this game. Okay, so ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones, and I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like 7 other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, the god Thor.
Excuse me?
He's in the movie.
But...
The god, not.
But I'm your co-host.
No. It's as if you've never listened to the show before.
I'm your co-host.
All right.
Who's this Thor guy?
And Aiden is here to fill in whenever Thor is struggling. So, you happy?
Okay. It's better.
All right. But, we're just gonna start it off. Meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
You lucky dogs.
And straight into the master list. I should have thrown this into updates. No, not updates. Well, you know what? We'll put it on the gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you.
Wait.
Now, you'll notice, by the way, guys, when there's farting during the theme music, you'll hear lots of giggling in the background afterwards. I'm sorry you guys missed it. So... I don't know why I said I'd put it on the gaming table, because it has nothing to do with the gaming table, and it's not an update. It should have been. I don't know where. But anyway, my brother started up a heist movie club on the forums. So if you are interested in heist movies, the first one is Jackie Brown, and I think he's going to do a new one every 2 weeks or something like that. And so I just watched Jackie Brown the other night. I can't tell you anything about it because I'm saving my discussion for the heist movie club. But if you guys want to join us, go watch Jackie Brown. It's streaming on Netflix. And then come join us in the forums for the Heist Movie Club thread. And we'll have some discussion whenever my brother says it's time to discuss. So, yeah.
Is this going to be the first ever video game on the gaming table?
No, there's been many other video games on the gaming
table. Can't name me one.
Papers, Please?
When was that? That's such an old game.
Well, it was years ago, but I did do it. Kingdom Rush, which is a phone game, but I did that.
Wait, that game?
Yes.
I've seen Zach play Papers, Please.
Yeah, Papers, Please is awesome. So I've done video games here before, on occasion. So, anyway, what is the video game we're going to do this week?
It's called Hello Neighbor.
Aiden and I played Hello Late Neighbor last night. Oh, actually, Aiden played Hello Neighbor, and I watched over his shoulder. And you want to describe it?
Yeah, okay. So, basically, without knowing any backstory, what you get is... You're dropped in front of your house, looking at a 1,000-foot-tall makeshift fortress. And your goal is to open a door in that house.
At least I think that's the goal. There's no instructions. It never told us.
But, so yeah, that's the basis of the game is you need to avoid this neighbor and open this door.
But let me tell you, we didn't get any instructions. There's no instructions for the game at all. All we know is it's called Hello Neighbor and we're dropped into this spot. And it's a little neighborhood and you can maybe visit like 6 total houses, but you can't get into any of them except this guy's house. And this house is this huge, rambling monstrosity of like tacked on tree forts and train tracks and stuff piled up to the sky. So it's this huge, like 8-story high thing.
And so we're dropped into this game. We have no idea what we're doing. So I just start walking around and exploring. And the first thing we get is as I'm walking down the street, my character gets spun around and there's the neighbor just directly, like whole screen is just the neighbor's face.
And you gotta know this neighbor, the whole game, neighbor included, is really cartoony. It's not like this is a horror game. It's not like, it's not just by the artwork scary. And yet, once he catches us, we like freak out because we can't do anything. And now we just start over from where we were.
And the weird part is he doesn't kill you.
No.
He sort of just leads you back to your front lawn.
Right. And so you start over from over there and, you know, things that you've stolen from his house, his TV remote, his phone, empty boxes, whatever, you still have them on you. So you get caught and you get sent back out and now you just have to start from outside.
Now, where this becomes difficult is there are items, because you need to break into the house or walk into the house different ways because he'll start setting up traps to foil you. So you'll start picking up items on the outside, and then bringing them inside to solve puzzles. And then you'll leave them inside because you didn't pick them back up.
Oh my god.
And so you're starting to run out of things on the outside of the house.
And when we say traps, the first time he hit one, we didn't even know what it was because we had broken in through this window before. So we thought, okay, cool. Let's go back to that window. Oh, look, the window's still broken. Awesome. And so you hop in through the window and now why can't I move? Only later did we realize, oh, because our foot's stuck in a bear trap.
He saw us come through this window before, so he set up a bear trap below it.
This house is now, after all the times he's been out, this house is full of bear traps.
And cameras.
And then he sets up security cameras.
So if these cameras see you, he knows instantaneously where you are.
Right, and so you can break the cameras, you can disable the bear traps, but you break a camera, after a while, he'll eventually come back around, see that it's broken, and he'll jump up there and repair it. Or
throw up a new camera.
Or just put up, yeah, there's like 4 or 5 cameras in the front entryway now. There's like 4 in the kitchen.
Yeah, there was like 8 of them in that back room. Oh. We kept coming in, breaking the one camera. It's like, how'd he find me? Then we turn, oh, there's another camera. Okay, break that one. What? There's another one?
He'll repair the windows eventually, but not always right away. So sometimes you break a window, he catches you. And you can get back in through that same window 2 or 3 times before he figures it out and goes and fixes it. If you cut his power from the outside, you can flip a switch from the outside. That will summon him instantly. He'll come around to that side and turn the power back on.
Well, so you can run in his front door.
Right. And he almost always comes out the back door to get to the power. So you flip the switch and then you run in the front door knowing he'll be outside. And then you can race up the stairs really quick. And every single time he catches you, the music gets all dramatic and your vision narrows into focus. And it is really scary. It is really scary and high tension. And
it only gets worse when we were testing out what summons him. So we're in his living room, like messing around. And there's just this cabinet that you can hide in. And when he's like, there's a slit you can see through. When he's in that slit very briefly as he's running by, like, the screen shakes intensely and it's almost deafening. And he just stood there looking into the cabinet.
But he never opens the cabinet. Cabinets are safe. But we didn't know any of this to start off with. We have to figure it all out. And so now there's a cage upstairs that you have to figure out how to get around this cage. And then, oh, look, there's a switch. Good. We'll just leave that door open. Oh, wait, let's shut the door so that he can't get to us up here. And then, oh, let's fall out a window, and now we've just locked ourselves out again.
Hey, I can do it again.
Yeah, eventually. Anyway, Hello Neighbor is a great game. If you cannot tell from our enthusiasm, it is a great game, and we've barely scratched the surface of this. We've
made it to a floor and a half.
Right. We found we went upstairs and we found out how to get through this cage. And then once you get to the other side of it, there's literally like four locked doors.
Four, yeah.
One of them we get open and it, you fall out outside. It's just a door to the outside from the third freaking floor. And the others are all locked and you
but
can't do anything with them.
But it was in that hallway that we figured out the mechanic that you can see where he is by looking through keyholes.
Oh yeah, that was clever. So, like you say, anyway, I can't give away anything about this game because there's nothing to give away yet. This is all we know. The only thing that would have made it better is if you hadn't listened to any of this and you simply just played it with no instructions like we did. And so we still have no idea what the goal is. I think it's to get through the security door on the first floor. It's the first thing you see when you get in.
That's what the promo on YouTube was showing.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you said you didn't want any information.
No, I didn't want any information. It was better that way. So, anyway, go play it. It's called Hello Neighbor. Would you just download it on Steam?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like $30 for pre-order. It's still in early alpha. Yeah. So they're still working on it.
Super cool though. All right. But that's not the reason we're here. The real reason we're here is, well, I'll let you take over.
And now it's time for yet another 80s movie that my dad swears was wicked awesome.
Cue music.
It was awesome in the 80s, but not anymore. It was awesome in the 80s, but not today.
I think what makes that song the best is the little dance he does to go with it.
He does a little swing. His hips are moving the whole bit. He's really good. He wrote that himself, so you guys should be proud.
Yes, this is awesome in the 80s. My dad, who is as old can be, picks out a movie from the 80s that he loved back when he was a kid. Then we watched it, and I tell him why he's wrong.
Wait a minute.
What did we watch this time?
Aha. That's the key. We watched Adventures in Babysitting. Shut up. We watched Adventures in Babysitting, which, again, back in the 80s, when I saw this movie, Elizabeth Shue was my dream girl. Elizabeth Shue was this perfect girl next door. She's beautiful and smart, and she was really good in, well, the very few movies I saw her in. And I loved Elizabeth Shue, and I loved Adventures in Babysitting. I saw it in the theaters. Thought it was one of the funniest things I had ever seen. We had a great time watching this movie. And so we bring it to Awesome in the 80s, and what do we think? Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's
a lame family comedy. It's really sad.
Yeah, it's... To be honest...
Yeah?
I have only done this twice in real life, but it's a movie I would have walked out on. like if I saw it in a theater, I would have walked out on it.
Okay, but was it better than Hillary's America?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't believe you had to hesitate for that. You're a bad person. It's Elizabeth Shue. My god, I love Elizabeth Shue. Okay.
Did everyone have a perm in the 80s?
Pretty much. I did. So, but that's not relevant right now. What is relevant is who did you recognize out of this movie?
Thor.
Okay, you knew Thor. Would you have recognized him if I didn't say, oh my god, Thor is Vincent D'Onofrio?
I don't know who Vincent D'Onofrio is. I was just making a joke.
Oh my god! You're the worst. The people I recognize from this movie who are still relevant, like a name that's still recognizable. Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, okay, I've heard the name.
Uh-huh, and you've seen her in...
Adventures in Babysitting.
Right, the original Karate Kid. Cocktail? I got nothing else. I don't even know what else she's been in. For being my dream girl, I didn't watch a whole lot of Elizabeth Shue movies. I did watch every Molly Ringwald movie, though. Oh, Molly Ringwald. Awesome.
Did you change names?
What?
I don't think the first name was Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth Shue?
Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, like at the beginning of this bit, I heard a different name.
No, it's Elizabeth Shue, spelled with an S.
Okay.
And so, so it's Elizabeth. So, anyway,
It's Elizabeth's.
Her best friend, Brenda, was Penelope Ann Miller.
No way!
Yeah, he's... Okay, they can't see you shrug, but yeah, he's putting on his stupid face over here because he has no idea who Penelope Ann Miller is. And here's the thing. I prepared for this. I would decide to go look up Penelope Ann Miller so
but not Elizabeth Shue.
So that we could play this game. Well, no, I looked her up too. But so we could play this game of where you might know Penelope Ann Miller from.
Okay.
And the answer is nowhere. I can't even, like,
Give me one or two. Come on.
No, like, I don't even recognize. I've never seen her in anything but this, apparently. I know the name Penelope Ann Miller, but you're not doing me any good.
Oh, okay. Can I talk about a really quick other movie I watched recently?
Sure.
Super quick.
Why not? This is certainly the right segment for it.
While you're doing research here to fill the silence.
Okay, go ahead.
So me and my friends have this little tradition where whenever we're at Walmart, one of us goes shoulder deep in the $5 bin.
Yes.
We pull out whatever movie, we buy it and watch it, regardless of what it is.
Right. That's how you watched Left Behind.
We pulled out Sister Act 2 starring Whoopi Goldberg.
How was Sister Act 2?
It's ass-numbingly boring.
Okay, it's a shame because Sister Act would have been a great movie for this. But now that you've seen Sister Act 2, you've pretty much seen Sister Act. And it would be Sister Act 2, the origin story, Sister Act.
Hold on. So, the main ginger student.
Okay.
I heard her speak. I'm like, I've heard that voice before. And it was faint. Like it could be something I've heard before, but I could just be, you know, just blowing it out my ass. I don't know. So I went and Googled her. And I'm like, yes, that's who she reminds me of. But no way, really?
Who was it?
Peggy Hill.
Really?
Yeah.
That's... Oh, yeah. No. That makes perfect sense. Yes. Got it. Okay.
It makes sense, but I'm like, what? Whoa, hold on.
I wouldn't have put that together, but okay, I got it. Wow. Okay. So Penelope Ann Miller, and then the only other person in this movie that I recognized was Vincent D'Onofrio as Thor. Did you guys watch Adventures in Babysitting? Do you remember anything about it? Because I barely remembered. I remembered the scene in the club. And that's about, and I remembered that there was a...
What a dumb rule that no one can leave without singing the blues.
Okay, hold on, let me get back to that.
What a racist, dumb...
It's not racist, it's just dumb.
Name me one white person that wasn't them in that club.
Okay, I remembered the club scene because nobody leaves without singing the blues. And I remembered that there was a Playboy centerfold that looked... incredibly like Elizabeth Shue, but was not her.
I bet
her.
You spent way too much time trying to find a copy of that.
No, it wasn't a real magazine. So
yeah,
I checked. So
I couldn't check.
I was 17 years old, and I didn't have access to go looking through libraries of old Playboy. In fact, I don't think there were accessible libraries of old Playboy magazines
really?
Lying around.
Really? Because, I mean, so. Like, with the internet
Yeah,
nowadays.
Why didn't you just search it on the internet? Shut up.
Did you try Googling? Oh, no, sorry. Google wasn't a thing. Did you try dogpiling it?
I'm just proud of you that you know Dogpile. But anyway, I remembered the whole movie after I watched it. Each scene, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. And so the whole bit is that the little girl in this movie, okay, Adventures in Babysitting, plot. Elizabeth Shue,
is a babysitter.
Has a hot date tonight. She's a high school senior. She's got a hot date and her boyfriend cancels on her at the last minute. So now she's sitting around depressed and has no idea what she's going to do with herself. And now, the one family calls up and says, oh my God, is there any way you can babysit tonight? So she agrees to do it. So she babysits these two kids and then her friend Brenda has run away from home and is now stuck at the bus station and needs someone to come pick her up.
Cause she's a quitter.
Yeah, that's right. Quitter. And so Brenda has to pack the kids into the car and a friend, of one of the kids and pack them into the car and go find Brenda and hilarity ensues. One mishap after another.
Speaking of that friend,
involving gunshots
Can I just say, first time I've ever seen a kid named Daryl.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know all the adults you've met named Daryl?
Yeah.
They used to be kids back in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, it was very much an 80s name. And so that's it. They get into mishaps and they run into criminals and they're in a car that is being stolen, and they wind up being chased by gangsters because they stole a Playboy magazine where they kept all of their shipping notes for their illegal activities.
Identical to the Playboy that the first kid lost.
Right, exactly. And then she winds up meeting a cute college guy who is going to wind up being her love interest. And at the end, everything works out all right. They get home just in time. She cleans up the whole place, and the parents never even know anything happened.
Can I just say...
And it was the greatest night of any of their lives.
I'm going to say what I said to Dad the moment this movie finished was a lot of statutory.
Yeah, there was a little bit of statutory in this movie.
A little bit?
A little bit. Well, look, she was supposed to be a senior, or just she was going to be a senior.
She was a senior.
Yeah, because she's a senior, and the oldest kid she was babysitting was a freshman, which means, oh, he's too old to be babysat, but he was actually going to be somewhere else. And so she was being hired to babysit the little girl. And then when he decided to play sick and stay home to see the hot babysitter, his parents then didn't just cancel the babysitter. They let her come over and babysit both of them, even though one of them's 15, because plot. So, anywho, where was I going with all that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Statutory. I zoned out.
Statutory.
Oh, right. Okay.
In fact, let's go back to our show notes, because we might have something about that in our questions.
That's Pathfinder.
That's Reddit.
Oh, that's Reddit. No, you're
that's
right.
Yeah, Pathfinder subreddit. Let's go
Nerd.
There. Oh, dude. You know what? All right, one of my favorite things to do in Pathfinder is I am obsessed with the idea of building a character that has the highest skills possible. And now, you guys know my character is a half-orc bard named Dothan, and I've implemented a lot of these things in Dothan in that she has some amazingly high skills, and I'm just fascinated by that. I love the highly skilled character. And so I thought to myself, can I get a character that has all the skills and has all of them amazingly high? How high can you get them? If you're going to try and keep them all about the same level, how high can you get all the skills? And so this is my plan. And so I decide, because I'm trying to build up some credit on Reddit, I thought, well, Reddit would be a good place.
Some Reddit credit?
Reddit credit.
You mean karma?
Yeah. And so I figure I'll put this on Reddit and say, all right, here's the build I've got, where all the skills now have a plus 24 or plus 25 in them, every skill. And can we do better than that? And I said, you know, here's my restrictions. Yeah, it's, you know, here's how you build the stats. You know, maximum 20th level. Don't add on any equipment, magic items, anything. It's just what can the character do without anything else. And I wind up getting a whole bunch of suggestions that are saying, oh, we could do way better than that. Look, if you add on a headband of charisma and you get a plus 6 on your
items.
Oh, yeah. No, this one guy. I mean, it was like a whole list of, one of them, not just the headband. And then if you could get enough wishes, you could raise that up another plus 4. You could be raising all of your stats with wishes if you do it that way. And then, if you have another companion bard that travels with you and can give you skill assist on everything, and if they have these stats, they could be giving you a plus 10 every time
I said the character themselves!
I know. And they're like presenting it smugly as if, huh, yeah, I beat you. Yeah, I know. I said that. It's like they're stupid. I mean, sorry Reddit, if you're listening Reddit. I don't mean to imply that you're all stupid,
the collective hive mind that is Reddit.
Quite a lot of you, pretty stupid. The last couple of things I put up there, I got great conversation out of it. But this one, apparently, people don't get rules.
I'm sorry, so you found a bunch of subreddits full of other lonely 40-year-olds?
So anyway, we were watching a movie. I am pretty sure.
We were watching a movie.
So, now why did I... Oh, that's right. Because I was getting back to our...
This is the most off-track episode ever.
I am so high right now. So, I'm not really high. That's a joke. I don't do drugs.
Yet.
Anymore. No, I'm kidding. I don't do drugs. So, anyway, I haven't even had a drink tonight.
Do you usually?
I drink like twice a year. Let's see. Although, I already used up my drinking for the camping trip when we went to Palisades, and I was pretty drunk. And so I used up my drinking for this six-month period, so I don't know what I'm going to do at Gen Con, because I'm pretty sure that calls for drinking for everyone but you.
But when does Gen Con call for drinking?
Oh, you'd be surprised. We did, although we all brought alcohol last year and then we didn't drink much. So we may not drink. We'll see.
I got a care package of candy.
So my point was, our next item on the list is stuff you can't get away with today. And as Aiden said,
all the statutory.
It's a little statutory.
What's statutory?
That means, statutory rape is
wow, this is a conversation you
didn't. Never mind. When I heard the word rape, I understood.
Yeah, we've had discussions with him and Eli about what that means.
Man, this is not the talk you wanted to have with your kids on the podcast.
Well, I don't know. Does it make good radio? You guys tell me. So, anyway.
I don't think so, Dad.
The 15-year-old kid that she's babysitting is desperately in love with her, which, not statutory. The 15-year-old friend that he brings along
is making out with a college student.
Wait. Is, you know, 15, and he's a creepy pervert. And he makes lots of sex jokes.
Aren't we all when we were 15?
Yes, but he makes lots of sex jokes, and he, in fact, even makes a joke about being raped. Creepy. And then later, when they're at that college party where she meets the love of her life, who is, by the way, she was only 17 in the movie.
Yeah.
And I do believe, because he was in the fraternity and, like, had a higher position in the fraternity. That means he was probably a junior or senior, which makes him too old for her. So, depends on the state, I suppose, but it's a close call with that one. Not that they had sex in the movie, it's a family movie, but the idea that they're gonna get together and have a relationship. And so while they're at that frat party, the 15-year-old creepy pervert best friend winds up in the corner making out with some college chick who's had too much to drink, which is, it was terrible. So.
I mean, another thing you couldn't get away with? A fist fight with a physically handicapped man?
When did they do that?
The hook-handed trucker?
Oh, no. He's not physically handicapped. I mean, he is technically physically handicapped, but...
yeah. I am technically correct. The best kind of correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Technically, which is good. Technically, you cannot... You wouldn't be able to show an able-bodied person in a fist fight with a physically handicapped person. However, this was the guy with the hook for a hand comes home and finds his wife with another dude, and they get into a fist fight, and there's guns fired. I think he was holding his own, and therefore, I don't think that would be any problem in a modern movie at all. I think they would get away with that one just fine.
What about literally 90% of the things that happened at the bus station?
Yeah, the bus station was, well, it was all creepy pervert stuff.
Right, which you couldn't get away with.
In a family movie, yeah, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. But it was, there was surprisingly an awful lot of black people in this movie and surprisingly very little racism for the 80s.
Okay.
It was really good.
What about the all-black blues bar?
Now, hold on. The all-black blues bar is not a problem. I have no problem with that. They didn't make any jokes about black people other than they like the blues, and it wasn't a joke. It was a black nightclub. There's no big deal with that. That's fine. I could see them getting away with that today. What was dumb was if you run across their stage, apparently...
No, it's not when you run across the stage.
No, you're right. It's not when you run across the stage.
It's when you enter the nightclub.
Nobody leaves us singing the blues.
Because the bad guys weren't on stage.
Right. You're right. So what, every audience member was forced to stay and sing a blues number on stage before they could get out of there?
I've been here 3 days.
Look, and when I was a kid and I saw that, I mean, I was 17, nobody leaves without singing the blues was really funny.
What?
And the improv blues song that they came up with was really funny. And the fact that the bad guys get stopped and they can't leave until they sing the blues, really funny.
Am I the only one who really wanted to see them sing the blues?
I kind of did. But this time watching it, I couldn't find anything funny about that because I thought that is the stupidest premise ever. Oh my God. All right. And then, now, as much as I appreciate child endangerment, and I do, when the little girl is on the outside of her dad's office building,
oh my God.
And she's leaning against the glass and she's, you know, any moment she could slip and fall 30 stories to her death and all that. That was great. I was fine with that part. The part that I didn't like
was that she was on the outside of the glass to the party of which her parents were in, and nobody but the babysitter and the bad guy were able to turn their heads and see the small girl hanging for dear life.
You, it is this very posh looking office party. There are wall-to-wall people in this place, okay? They're all having conversations with each other, meaning they're facing in all different directions. There is a 9-year-old girl pressed against the outside of the 30-story window, and she's in plain view because the babysitter spots her immediately and panics, and then the bad guy spots her immediately and realizes he has to get her because the Playboy magazine is in her backpack.
Also, but before we finish this point, before this, a bad guy climbs out after her.
Yes.
And is hanging from a bedsheet-esque rope.
Yes.
And once everything's said and done, they leave him there.
Yes!
He is guaranteed to die.
Okay, so I'm telling you, crowded dinner party, literally the babysitter spots her, a 9-year-old pressed against the glass. The babysitter spots her and the bad guy spots her. Nobody else in the room notices a thing. Nothing. I mean, yeah, obviously the girl's parents didn't notice her because we're intentionally distracting them so that they won't. But this is, oh my God. It was the worst. The worst. And then, yeah, again, funny that you're going to leave the guy on the outside of the building when his buddy says, yeah, he'll be all right. I'll get him later.
But
they left him on the outside of a windy building in Chicago.
It's like 90 stories high.
Yeah. On the outside of a windy building in Chicago. Yeah, it was probably closer to 70, 80, 90 stories than my 30 that I'm estimating. It's the, what's the building with the big diamond-shaped windows at the top?
Yeah, that one.
It's that building. And
hold on,
she's leaning on the diamonds up there. So she's at the top of this thing.
Hold on, I can just Google diamond building in
Chicago. And she got there because, amazingly, the floor directly above this party is under renovation, looks like your typical high-rise construction floor scene, and thus, it's a place where there's no furniture, nothing but construction materials, and, oh yeah, there's no windows on that floor. You can just go walk right out. So, crazy. All right.
It is the Crane Communication Buildings and is a 49-story...
Oh, 49.
552-foot building.
Okay, so she was at least 40 stories up. And is that in Chicago? Was I right about that part?
Located in downtown Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so...
150 North Michigan Avenue.
There you go.
Oh my God,
there's more?
It was also known as the Smurfit Stone Building.
What?
Oh, I like that. All right. So the question we have to ask ourselves now is, does it hold up?
20%.
I think we've answered. I think 20% is a little high. I was entertained watching it the second time only because I remembered how much I liked it before, and it was very interesting to relive some of these scenes, and I didn't necessarily enjoy them. I mean, I'm sitting here watching the whole thing going, wow, can't believe I ever thought that was funny. Holy crap, what did I ever see in this movie? But I enjoyed watching it this time just for that factor. Aiden, who's never seen it before, yeah, he would have walked out, apparently. So
I give it 20% because this is only the second 80s movie I've scene, and the other one held up surprisingly well.
Wow.
So I have nothing but high hopes at this point.
Right, right. Yeah, no, see, we're doing pretty good. Really quick, before we get to the final question, is, have I ever told you my story? Well, it's not my story, it's John Stewart's story, but the one story that I like to tell about Elizabeth Shue. She's so pretty, I'm tongue-tied. Have I told you the story about Elizabeth Shue and John Stewart?
No.
Okay. Please tell me you know who John Stewart is.
Yes.
Okay, good. I know, he didn't retire that long ago, but...
He's like that guy that was Trevor Noah before Trevor Noah.
Right. Yeah, he's the old Trevor Noah, right? Yeah, that's John Stewart.
I actually really like that show.
Yeah, no, I know. I love John Stewart, I love Trevor Noah, I love The Daily Show. So anyway, when John Stewart was first starting out with his own show on TV, and... I don't even know that it was on The Daily Show. No, it wasn't on The Daily Show. It was on The Jon Stewart Show, which was his interview show he did on MTV. And John Stewart tells this story, and it's way better when he tells it. But there's a promo that they did for it, and he shows a clip of this promo where he's doing a promo for his show, and when he gets to whatever tagline it is, Elizabeth Shue, who is over his shoulder and she's contributing to this, she reaches one arm over John Stewart and just visibly grabs his package as they're sitting there filming a promo. And she apparently improv'd that, the whole grabbing his package thing. Now, his package is below the camera line, so you don't actually see it, but it's very obvious what she's doing. And his reaction is very priceless, and so they left it in because he was cool with it. And so, right. Now, Elizabeth Shue is about 7 years older than I am, which means she's about John Stewart's age. So they were contemporaries. And for him, the way he tells this story, he's like, oh my God, Elizabeth Shue just grabbed my package. Cause, you know, he would have been as much in love with Elizabeth Shue as I was because Elizabeth Shue was awesome. And so he's like, oh my God, she just grabbed my package. Oh my God, I think I've got a shot here. Oh, this is great. I mean, this is beyond flirting. This is, oh my God, she just sexually assaulted me. I think this is pretty good. And so.
A little too much statutory.
Right. And so he goes backstage, and as he goes to approach her, the first thing she says is, oh, John, here, meet my husband. This is a, and that was his, to him, he says that was his introduction into certain realities of showbiz that, oh, there's lots of things we do for the camera that don't mean anything. I get it. But anyway, it was just an interesting story. So,
the final question.
Final question. How would you remake this film for today?
Successfully, I don't think you can. Because it relied on a certain kind of comedy that was funny in the day. And if you're going to use a form of comedy analogous to that today, you'd get something close to Paul Blart Mall Cop.
I think so. If you remade it today, I think it's got to be a family comedy, which family comedies nowadays have a lot less statutory in them. so they would have to tone down some of that. I don't know if they'd have to tone down the child endangerment stuff and the crude jokes from the 15-year-olds and the I think some of those references might have to be taken out. But yeah, if they remade it today, it would be a movie that is obviously just for 11-year-olds, and they'd have to insert a lot more fart jokes into it. And so,
right.
I mean, so the whole point is
Paul Blart.
I think they could remake it for today, and I think they could be moderately successful with it.
I would like that movie as much as I liked this movie.
And that's my point, is that if they remade it for today, it would be a movie that I would not see under any circumstances because I wouldn't care. And so therefore, our final question, should you remake it?
No, there's no
point in that one. And I'm sure it's not like it's an expensive property. I'm sure people have written scripts to try and do that, but, it wouldn't be worth it. Okay. That's the end of that segment, which means it's time for the
Pod-O-Matic.
Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about
whatever
you
want
it to
be.
Oh,
why just slow down there?
Because I improv. You should be able to keep up
with
me.
You slowed down just to trip me up.
Pod-O-Matic is about
whatever you want it to be.
That's way better. Okay. And our first number is 53. I begged because Kyle overloaded us with Pod-O-Matics. And so I begged for everyone to give us new ones. And last week we had Produce Farmer with a ton. And this week Sarah Beth sent a whole bunch in. And then Kyle sent a bunch more. So, you guys still got to get caught up. But anyway, we're at 53, which is from, oh, there it is. 53 is from Ronster. Ron says, ever heard of the Bombardier Beetle? How cool is that, right?
Yeah.
Do you know how it works?
You need me to pull up a picture for you?
No. I know what a Bombardier Beetle looks like. No. Yeah, Bombardier Beetle, do you know what it does?
Hold on.
Since you were acting all confident, do you know what it does?
Getting a refresher course.
Okay. A Bombardier Beetle, has in its body, it has hydroquinone and hydrogen peroxide. And it keeps those two in separate chambers in its abdomen. And then,
oh yeah,
when it's under threat as a defense mechanism, it mixes the two, which, okay, when, because hydrogen peroxide, it's hydrogen peroxide, it's H2O2. But hydroquinone, it's like a benzene ring, but with a couple of extra hydroxyls on either side of it. So, it's like, it's derivative of benzene. And, what happens is, yeah, when the, yeah, he's got a video of it, bombing. And so when the two of them mix, hydrogen peroxide is just dying to give up that, that extra oxygen all the time. So we deoxify the hydrogen peroxide, which then causes the benzene to rapidly oxidize. The entire mixture raises almost immediately too close to the boiling point, and then the pressure of it jets it out of the bombardier beetle's abdomen, and it's basically a boiling acid spray that is effective enough to kill a lot of insects, which is pretty damn cool. So I love the bombardier beetle. I think that thing is awesome. But Ronster goes on further and says, is there a larger version you could use in role-playing games? You better believe there is. I remember the picture of the bombardier beetle in the old monster manuals from Dungeons & Dragons. And, there it was, killing a spider. See? A spider much bigger than it was. And I remember seeing the pictures of the bombardier beetle in the old monster manuals from Dungeons & Dragons. But Pathfinder, which is my new favorite game, my favorite role-playing game, Pathfinder has a giant bombardier beetle as well. And when we say giant, that means it's like 5 foot long. So it's like not, you know, beetle sized. So it's, that's pretty giant, right?
It's D&D beetle sized.
Right. Well, it's only like a challenge rating 2 or 3 or something like that. So it's not like, you know, it's not like it's a huge amount of trouble, but you know, if you're a low level character and you've suddenly got, you know, even a half dozen of these things running all over you, spraying hot ass boiling acid all over everybody, that'd be pretty badass, actually. So, anyway, yes, I have heard of the Bombardier Beetle, and yes, they do have them in RPGs already. So, very, very cool. Number 87.
I should probably stop looking at gifts of Bombardier Beetles so I can actually speak on the podcast.
Yeah, you know what? Gavinger had enough time. Really? Number 87. That was a good sigh. If I am late for work... Oh, this is from Ronster again. If I am late for work due to traffic, or really just about any reason, I am expected to bring donuts or biscuits. What would be the biscuits? Does that mean cookies? Do you live in England? Is that...
No. He's talking about the lame-ass donuts.
Yeah, no, he's talking about biscuits. What would be the healthier alternative that might be well-received? Nothing.
Cereal.
No, there is nothing that you could bring instead of donuts that isn't going to disappoint people, especially when they know donuts is the expectation, because you could bring all sorts of healthy stuff in. Not that I would know what any of that stuff is, because I don't get
just
along
with
healthy
food. Just bring in a box of kale.
You see, a big old bushel of kale. But no, you can't bring in a healthier alternative because you're just going to disappoint people. So if you bring in the box of donuts and people choose to eat them, that's on them. You don't have to feel guilty about any of that. And you, being a much more responsible person, you will pass and choose not to eat the donut. So there you go. Which, by the way, just, Aiden, I know you may not be aware of this. I haven't eaten a donut in months. Even though we occasionally go out and get donuts for the family or we bring donuts to work or whatever, haven't touched a donut in months. I'm very proud of myself.
Is that what pride looks like?
Because
sounds like you're living a very sad life.
It still looks like sad, cringy shame, doesn't it? Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, not even that. It's just like, what kind of life do you live that's a life without donuts?
It's hard. But, well, the point is I'm
maybe
cutting...
What else is hard?
What?
Living in Germany, circa World War II?
Yes, but... That happened to other people who mostly are all dead
also
now.
Also my penis?
No. See, you made the 11-year-old laugh. You're not going to be welcome on this podcast if you keep that up. So my point is that I understand that certain people in Germany had a really hard time during World War II, but I'm telling you, I'm giving up donuts. Are you not listening to me? This is, I am giving up carbs of all sorts. I splurge one time a week. I get my Monster Kona blend one time a week, and that's it. And one day a week, I'll go a little overboard. I won't have a donut, but you know, if we're going to have pasta or if we're going to go out for pizza or something like that, then okay, one day a week I can do that too, but
yeah, that's how do you do spaghetti night?
Spaghetti's not bad though. I mean, I know pasta's, you know, a lot of complex carbs in there, but, spaghetti is actually relatively low calorie. I mean, yeah, in general, it's not that bad. So I got to stay away from the garlic bread, but you know, okay, thank God. How long was I going to ramble on? 27.
He was looking over here like, hit the button, please help me.
Like, yeah, because it's right between us. I mean, it's literally a foot from either one of us. And for some reason, I couldn't hit the button. I was with my eyes pleading for him to please save me from my own rambling. It's Produce Farmer.
Hey-o.
Oh, we love this guy. Produce Farmer says, what's your opinion of electric toothbrushes?
They make a weird noise that I could do without.
Yeah,
No, hold on. Whoa. Are you talking about just specifically bland, run-of-the-mill electric toothbrushes, or are you including Tooth Tunes?
What are Tooth Tunes?
You just hurt me a lot, thanks.
I'm sorry. What are Tooth Tunes?
That is not where I thought you were going with that. Yeah, because there's all sorts of... I mean, you can buy the expensive ones that actually have the full rotating round heads.
Give me a second. Noah.
Yeah.
Tooth Tunes are an electric toothbrush that when it's not in your mouth, it releases this little dull sound. But the moment you start brushing your teeth with it, you can hear, at full volume, a pop song of the era.
Right. A song that echoes through your head. It's conducted from your teeth and jaw up to your ear bones, and you wind up hearing music inside your head. I've never tried one, so I wouldn't
know. I mean,
I do
that on a daily basis, but...
Yeah. Yeah, you know...
We had those Kiss ones for a while.
Yeah, we did. Those were cool. I don't care for electric toothbrushes. I don't really care. I mean, you get the ones with the round rotating heads, or you can get just the cheap ones that just vibrate and give you the extra brushing action. And look, I'm a dude who loves brushing my teeth. I really do. But
you do?
I could. Yeah, I do. I really enjoy brushing my teeth. I will.
And why are they crumbling?
Because I'm old. I'm old, and I spent several years not taking care of my teeth very well. And so now, even though I take care of them very well now, there's only so much you can do. Damage has been done. But I like to brush my teeth. I don't like electric toothbrushes. I just not, you know, it's nice as a novelty, but I feel like the bulk...
It's not helping a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's
It doesn't make the job easier.
Yeah. And, look, the big industrial ones where
Unless
you've got the big handles...
And then they make everything easier.
Yes, I agree with you, Aiden.
Either,
you know what they are.
Either you have the giant, fully electric ones that I can't keep in my shower, because whether you think that's gross or not, I keep my toothbrush in the shower, and that's where I brush my teeth, which is probably a waste of water.
I keep mine, like,
but
in
I don't
the bowl
care.
Of the toilet.
Yeah, well, that, as most people would. And
Ew!
So the fully electric, big battery ones, you can't keep in the shower, and... even the regular vibrating ones, the little ones that vibrate, they don't fit into my toothbrush rack in the shower, and therefore, I don't care for them. They're bulky, and they're more trouble than they're worth for me. So there you go. Look, I can bring it myself sometimes. 34.
34 is from Mrs. Darks.
And Mrs. Darks says, tell us your most awkward in-law story.
Okay, let me tell you about my non-existent in-laws.
Okay. Let me tell you about...
Oh, I do have a potential story here.
Let me tell you about the time I went out to my in-law's place, and I was dropping off some stuff to go in the kitchen, and so, as I normally do, I went out there, and all the lights were off in their house. It was, you know, late. It was like 10 o'clock at night, something like this. don't get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me. No, I told this at the campfire the other night. So I go in, and with all the lights off, I'm not even going to bother to knock because they're in bed already. I don't want to wake anyone up, so I'm just going to sneak into the kitchen. And so...
Steal some of their food, you know?
No. No, I just went into the kitchen. I put the stuff down, And then while I'm in there, I turn around and I realize my mother-in-law has come out of the bedroom and she's getting something off. They have a little island out there, at the entryway, where they store a lot of things. And so she's getting something off of there. And so I realize, oh, she doesn't realize I'm here. I don't want to scare her. And so I go, hello there. And that way she'll know someone's there. She turns and she panics like a deer in the headlights. And then she grabs a lap blanket off the chair next to her and holds it up in front of herself. At which point I realize, oh my God, I think she was naked. Which fortunately for me and her, I didn't see anything because I didn't even realize until that moment that that's what was going on. But apparently it wasn't. So she has this little tiny lap blanket that's only, you know, she's holding it up to her neck and it's just barely hanging down to her knees and it's not very big. And then she bunny hops sideways to get out of the room. And then I realized, yeah, she was definitely naked. Damn. So.
Damn, I wanted to see that.
No! Oh, Jacob already saw it, said it burned his eyes out of his head.
Am I the only one who hasn't seen Grandma naked?
Pretty much. Like literally, the time that Jacob did it, we had just left their house, we get in the car, and we start backing down the driveway, and we realize, oh shit, Jacob left his, whatever it was, doesn't matter. So we pull back up the driveway, Jacob gets out, runs in the house, and when he gets there, there's Grandma fully naked in the middle of the living room. It's like, and we keep questioning her. We're like, so the minute we step out the door, you're like, naked time! And you just throw all the clothes. She's like, I was going to bed. I took my clothes off because my pajamas were in the basket right there. I was just going to change and go to bed. And so, yeah, poor Jacob. He was scarred. Scarred right. Badly.
I've got a potential story for this one.
Okay.
Now, this isn't technically in-laws because I am not, nor have I ever been married, but I am currently in a relationship with a girl from Germany. And we were hanging out, just having a good old time, and she's suddenly like, oh, right, my dad wanted to talk to you over the phone because he wanted to, like, meet you and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, anything I need to know beforehand? And she's like, yes, he's a medium-ranking officer in the German military.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Because in my head, whenever I'm talking to anyone from the military, it's just like this weird disposition in my head that one wrong move and they're going to kill me.
Oh, no. And look, I know it's German military, but it's not like they're Nazis anymore. I mean, it's just Germany.
He was super sweet. Her brother, on the other hand, obviously wanted me dead.
Why?
He was interrogating me and opens it with, what are your intentions with my sister? In a thick, stern German accent.
Oh, such a beautiful language. So melodious. So,
real quick. Her brother and her father's accent, and when they speak German, is extremely hard and, well, I mean, like, stereotypically German.
Right.
But her German is extremely soft and sweet and Not like you'd think at all.
Rose-colored glasses, buddy. You're just fooling yourself. Just fooling yourself. No, German. It's a lovely language. I, by the way, told you guys a couple weeks ago that in order to fight off the Alzheimer's, I'm going to go back to learning German. So I've been doing that. I've actually been opening up my Duolingo, and I missed a couple days. But I'm getting better at it, and I'm getting my Duolingo going, and I'm learning German again. So I'm very proud of myself.
Jacob's learning German as
I
well.
I know. I'm way behind Jacob. Although, I mean, look, I had 3 years of high school German, which means, you know, I recognize 12 words.
They had German in high school?
In my high school, they did.
For what? Why? How was that useful?
Because they had a teacher who knew how to speak German, so they taught German. I mean, that's honestly, that's how it comes down. And because every school offers Spanish, well, almost every school offers Spanish, so we had Spanish available, which is probably the most useful second language you could learn in this country right now. But also because we were in upstate New York and very close to Montreal and Quebec, we also had French. So, although I think French is relatively common too. Our school, it's a small school. Our school only offers Spanish, but I think most larger high schools offer at least Spanish and French and possibly possibly Latin, possibly German, other stuff. But anyway, I'm going back to learning German. It's not the most useful thing I could learn, but because I already have a basis for it, I'm enjoying it. 71. And see, he talked about her, and now he's got to go text her.
No,
I've completely lost him for the podcast.
No, this is something completely different.
So, yeah, whatever. No, something completely different is a different segment. That's usually in the first half of the show. All right. Oh, this one's from Zimny. And Zimny says, which gem is the best? The one with the holograms.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Gem in the holograms?
A, not what he was asking, and B, wrong answer, even if it was.
Well, he did spell it with a G, but I assume since he's Swedish, it was just an accent. He meant J-E-M, gem. The only gem I know.
The correct answer is amethyst, because she's got the whip and stuff.
Oh, God, amethyst is awesome. Oh, wait. If this is a Steven Universe question. Oh, God. No, okay, amethyst is pretty awesome.
But it's a tie for me, actually, between Lapis and Peridot. Because Lapis got them looks, Peridot got them jokes.
I like both of those. I love Lapis. I love Peridot. I like all of them, though. I love the baseball team full of rubies. Those were good. Okay.
That's what I was typing.
But it was about her. See? I knew it. So, anyway, do I have to pick a favorite? Really?
I mean, are you talking like regular gemstones? Because
No, he's not. Clearly, this is a Steven Universe question, and we're not going to go any further.
Because at that point, it's Topaz for me.
I'm going to say Peridot. I actually really like what I've seen of her in the last season. So, although I haven't watched the most recent season, so at least I don't think I did. I can't remember now. I meant to, but I can't get it for free anywhere. So. I should go back and see if they've put him up on Hulu now. Anyway, I love Steven Universe. 90 is way down here. There it is. It's from Kyle.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Kyle, who dominates this list, and yet
not only does he dominate lists, but he likes to type paragraphs.
Free idea. Here's the free idea I'll throw out for anyone to use. Just credit me as Inspiration Kyle Jones. Write a Pathfinder adventure where you convince the players to join a cult, which will incrementally require them to do wider and more depraved things. Design it in such a way that each incremental step towards depravity doesn't seem that much worse than the one before it. It is acceptable for the greater good, but they have no idea it's a cult until 2 years into the campaign when they realize that they're the bad guys. Wow, that is a great idea. And of course it's free to use because you can't copyright an idea, and so therefore anyone can steal that. Yeah, even if Kyle was working on it, you could steal it. So, Cult, a contemporary horror role playing game. Wow, I love having a research guy next to me. I didn't know there was a role playing game called Cult. That's interesting.
Sorry, it's been done before, Kyle.
Nah. So, but not in Pathfinder, especially with the alignment restrictions. It would be really fun for them to find out after 2 years that oh yeah. You've all completely violated your alignment. Although, you know, we have so many moral ethics discussions in our Pathfinder group that I don't think
especially
we could...
when Zog was around.
No. I mean, my grown-up one, not you guys. Aww. So, yeah, you're not a grown-up. Sorry.
Excuse me. By the state of Nebraska, I am a legal adult.
We had so many ethics discussions that I don't think we'd get sucked into the cult because... boy, especially with Dwyn around, she is always, well, I mean, look, we clearly have just found, a magical item that contains information that is going to be key to solving everything and destroying the ultimate evil and saving the world. We're positive that that's what this is. Even if we're wrong, we're positive right now that that's what this is. And of course, Dwyn, her first response is, well, no, these people are evil. We have to destroy it. We're like, no, what do you mean destroy it? This may be our only chance. Yeah, I think we'd be safer destroying it. Oh my God, this woman. So, which, by the way, Dwyn, still my favorite character in the group, but boy, she's infuriating sometimes. 93.
Don't even need to scroll. There it is. It's from your wife.
It's from my wife.
Uh-oh.
What's the worst fight you and Kyle have ever been in?
Well, I can tell you the worst fight that Kyle's ever been in. The fight to finding a good haircut. I've seen some of them old photos.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Would it be when I took his girlfriend to prom and made out with her? Would that be it?
What?
Okay, you need to go in more detail on that. Excuse me?
It's a very old story. But Kyle had a girlfriend who was older than him but younger than me. He moved away to Alabama, so, I mean, he abandoned her. Let's just point that out. But they still pretended like they were maintaining some sort of long-distance relationship. And then Kyle said, hey, dude, her prom is coming up. Because I was in college at this point, and this is her prom. And so her prom is coming up, and, would you be willing to take her so she has a date, but that, you know, doesn't have to be weird? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, I can do that. So,
and watch it get weird.
So I took her to prom, and then afterwards there was some after party that everyone was going to, all of her friends. So I'm like, all right, fine, I'll drive you over there. I can go in for a while. And so we were just laying on the bed watching a movie with everybody else. And I wish I could blame it on alcohol, but neither one of us had been drinking. And then we wound up making out. And
at what point did you tell Kyle?
Oh. Right away.
Oh, okay, good. You're a good person.
No, I was kind of bragging about it. So I was kind of an asshole. So I'm telling you, I was 19 years old. All right, you know what 19-year-olds are like? They're assholes. I mean, not like junior high kids, but yeah. No. Let me. You can look at me like that. Let me just inform you.
You played Mr. Steal Your Girl to your own brother, and then bragged about it to his face immediately.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, look, I was apologizing.
You'll never guess what I'm doing right now. It's your girlfriend.
No, it was not like that. And look, at the time, I was not.
Was that acceptable in the 80s?
Oh, no, no. At the time, I was not as sorry as I should have been. But afterwards, I eventually came to deeply regret it, and I realized that I was a complete and total douche. And it was a seriously horrible, horrible thing of me to do, and I feel terrible about it. I was completely and totally in the wrong.
Dude,
so,
I'm like your bad guy co-host. I bounce, like, dick moves, like, off of you. And, dude, that's a dick move.
Kyle, quickly, if you're listening to this, in the next listener betrayal, confirm this to us.
Oh, no.
Please.
We talked about it openly on the Animal Cast.
I mean, yeah, well, there's no evidence of that left.
One of my favorite moments, and this was only about 10, 12 years ago.
Only a decade ago.
That happened when I was 19.
Well,
so
I know, but
that was 28 years ago.
But you said this only happened 10, 12 years ago.
Right, well, meaning...
That's a lot of years.
So, the incident that I just described happened 28 years ago.
Okay.
All right. About 12 years ago, I found a notebook of mine from college. All right? And this notebook would have been from a class I took on Shakespearean comedies. And so it would have been a year or two after the incident, at prom. And it was a class I took with Kyle. And so in the notebook,
we would sit. Making out?
No. In the notebook, we would scribble notes to each other so that we could have conversations during class. Because by this point, he had.
I will never forgive you.
So as it's going through, there's a conversation written down, my handwriting, his writing, and we're having a conversation in class on this sheet of notebook paper. I found it, like I say, a dozen years ago. I find it again in a drawer. I wish I had saved it. I'd have it made into a t-shirt. And
really?
No, I wouldn't. But in the conversation, we were apparently doing the the scene from Midnight Summer Night's Dream. That was what was going on. And so there was, people in the class were taking on the roles of Lion and Moonshine and Bottom and all this. But specifically, Lion and Moonshine were the two, hottest girls in class. And so that's how we were referring to them. It's like, oh my God, Moonshine's looking really good. Hey, yeah, but did you check out Lion? I mean, this is the conversation we're having. Because again, this was, you know, in the 80s, maybe 1990. We were very young. We were pigs. And so we're commenting on how hot they are. And then out of nowhere, in the middle of this conversation, in Kyle's handwriting, it says, I'll never forgive you for Marine, you son of a bitch. Which, at the time, I took it as a joke. And when I found it, I took it as a joke. But, you know, maybe he's been secretly harboring this resentment. And it was, I mean, he was just pretending it was a joke. But seriously, he hates me.
Okay, so, Kyle, you dodged a bullet. Because, I mean, what kind of name is Marine?
Yeah, well, I don't even want to say that too often. But when we talked about it on the Animal Cast, we actually used to make jokes about it a lot, and we used her first and last name, and I feel really bad about that because I mean, she was just a high school kid, and it was not a, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, we've all done weird, stupid stuff we're embarrassed about, like, you know, making out with your brother's girlfriend, and so I would hate, so we used to make jokes about her on the Animal Cast, which were wildly inappropriate. And I mean, we were obviously just kidding, but God, we used her name. That was just rude and wrong. So I'm glad there's no record of those because I would hate for that to ever get back around to her. That would be terrible. I mean, just wrong. 14. 14 is from... Oh, no, there, it's from Mrs. Darks. This will be our last one. And Mrs. Darks says, what kind of nerd are each of your kids that you are not? Okay, my kids, all four of my kids are video game nerds, which I am not.
I'm kind of a social nerd. Like, I live for social interaction. I get it whenever I can.
Which is weird because you're so bad at it.
Hey now.
Oh, I am also a science nerd, Noah.
Dang
Good
it!
Try.
Hold on.
I'm a manga nerd.
Manga nerd. That's very true.
I am an ARMS the video game nerd.
That's true. He really likes the game ARMS. So far, my three oldest children, are band nerds and drama nerds. Noah's turning into a band nerd. He's got the trumpet now. So I never did have the music.
He's not good at it, but he's got it.
I don't have the music nerd cred that I would like. So, they're better at that. They've got the marching band and they've got the school plays and, Jacob and Aiden both did speech. So, they have some nerd stuff in those areas that I'm very jealous of. I would have loved to have had those experiences, but, I haven't yet. So you want to do one more?
Yeah.
70.
I love how it's tradition to say this is the last one and then go one or two more.
Yeah, it's really, man, I should be more reliable than that. But, you know, that was a short one.
It's tradition by this point.
Ronster says, which is your favorite Beatle?
Ringo.
Shut up.
The Bombard.
The Bombardier Beetle. Yes, that's my favorite Beetle. No, he's actually spelled it band.
It's capital.
So,
and it is Ringo.
It really?
Yeah.
Go to
ringostarart.com.
Okay. Well, you know what? Then you and I will watch Caveman and we'll break you of this. So, because Ringo Starr was the star. The Ringo Starr of Caveman. And it was an awesome movie from the 80s. So, Ringo Starr art. Oh.
He does it all in MS Paint.
Wow. That's really interesting. Okay. So
when interviewed how he named his paintings, he responded, well, on computer, you have to name them something. So I have.
Nice. Oh, God, that is so weird. And he gets away with it because he's Ringo Starr.
Elephant foot.
So, although, you know, as much as that seems so amateurish and silly, I would put an elephant foot on my wall. That's pretty good.
Your baby.
Yeah, it's very clearly MS Paint art, and it's very clearly done by an amateur. I mean, I could do better art than that. And yet, there's something captivating about it.
Bad finger?
So, my favorite Beatle is, I don't know. My favorite Beatle is John to a point. I feel like it should be George, but it's not really. But I like Paul. I think Paul is cool and fun, but there's something about John, young John, before Yoko John. I don't like solo Imagine John, but I do like young Beatles John.
Oh, damn it. I missed my moment. So, what's your favorite Beatle? I should have said Yoko.
Yoko Ono was, John Lennon's girlfriend. John Lennon was one of the original Beatles. Well, original Beatles, like there was a whole ton of them. But Yoko Ono became John Lennon's girlfriend, and apparently she had ideas for the direction the Beatles should take, and John was all on board because it was his girlfriend, and the other Beatles didn't agree, and so apparently there were lots of fights, and lots of people credit her with being the reason that the Beatles broke up. And she makes horrible, horrible, caterwauly music. She's terrible. So, there you go. All right. Yeah.
27.
No more. No more. Oh, 27's a duplicate. We're all done. That means I'm turning it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's
Number 20. When I say one more question, there's one more question.
All right. Good. This is you. This is your question because you asked for it.
All right. It's from Kyle.
In your best Scottish accent, recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
I pledge allegiance to that Australian.
No. That's Scottish. Come on.
I pledge allegiance to
Scottish accent would be Shrek.
I can't do Scottish to save my life.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
That's more Duke Nukem than anything.
Yeah.
Oi!
I mean, at best, it's Dick Kick'em.
Yeah, I can't.
I pledge.
Alright, well, Noah's the best you're going to get. And now Aiden has learned his lesson about hitting one more question. So we're going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
Look, how was I supposed to know that the button was going to do that? I didn't know it was going to roll up a Scottish accent question.
Oh my god, it happens all the time, dude. Where have you been?
Apparently, I missed every episode with a Scottish accent question.
Apparently. Look, the point is that, this podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. My opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and my bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage and Noah with Awesome in the 80s. All the songs I use are available on iTunes except for that Noah one. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them.
It will be soon.
I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network for now. Angry Geeks versus Me Like Trivia, Nerd Pride Radio itself, quality nerd broadcasting from quality nerd people.
From a quality nerd person.
Well, no, there's still people. You shut up. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write us a nice review. Give us 5 stars because that kind of stuff really makes a difference. But the best thing you can do for me, honestly, is go out and recommend it to your friends. It's just one friend, any friend. If you're enjoying it, find someone who's never heard it, spread the word, and let them enjoy it as well. Word
you
of mouth.
You know why? Because word of mouth is bread and butter, people.
Thank you. Remember, I'm always looking for your listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics on the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal if I remember to put it up. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. Contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is to sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world.
We'll have fun. I got the slash nerds this time.
Yeah. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, usually I would go out to Facebook and to my website, post up, hey, I'm recording. If you want to join in, just post up right here. And then at the end, I will read off everything people tell me, which is what I'm doing right now. Unfortunately, this time we got to the credits and I realized I had not yet put anything up. So I posted up listener betrayal. We took a 15-minute break and we actually got 4 responses in that time. There was nothing on my forums. So to heck with that. But, you know, 15 minutes, what's going to happen? But on Facebook.
I mean, whoa. 15 minutes could save you.
Oh, 15% or less. Oh my God. Did you see the picture of the dead lizard in Kyle's fridge?
Okay.
He goes into his fridge and there's a paper plate, and on this paper plate is a note that says, dead baby lizard, do not eat. And then underneath it is a dead baby lizard.
I think, which I assume, two of those statements are kind of a given.
So,
yes, I can see that's a dead baby lizard. Second thing, of course I'm not going to eat it.
And so it is this, I mean, teeny tiny, like, I don't know if it, I don't know where it came from, but it was gross looking, but also kind of cool. And so I'm assuming that someone found it or got it somewhere and they were going to use it for science class. But anyway, the best part is that people were commenting on it on Facebook, and Kyle's response to it was, I know, it was the weirdest thing. Right before it died, it held up its little hand and said, 15 minutes could save you 15% or less. And then it was gone.
It's 15% or more.
We'll never know what it means. Okay, 15% or more. But the joke is still good.
You've ruined the joke twice. I had to say something.
You know what? You're right. Okay, so since there was nothing on my forums, let's go on over to Facebook, where the first comment is from Nelly. And Nelly...
Oh my goodness, who ate my baby lizard again?
Hey, look, she showed up!
That was funny.
Her voice showed up. It actually took.
And now Noah just hit her with a door. I don't know if you heard that part. So anyway, the first comment is from Nelly, and Nelly says, I'm already an indie. Oh my God, she's already at Gen Con. You realize that? She's already at Gen Con.
What, are you going to attend outside the building? God, you nerd.
No, she's in a really nice hotel room because,
yeah, I know.
Because of Derek.
God, we played Cards Against Humanity in that freaking...
Yeah, she just, like, got us a room.
A meeting room.
Yeah, a meeting room in the hotel.
High-class business guys.
Well, or us. So,
we could do business.
Anyway, I'm very jealous. I cannot wait to get there. It is as if the last 2 weeks, time has just been in slow motion. The days are not moving fast enough. I am so, so excited about this trip. So, Nelly says, what's the most important thing for me to check out at a Midwest fair? I'm going tomorrow. All right, good for you. That'll be exciting. But Aiden's got ideas.
The fryer.
What?
The thing where you can bring any food and they'll fry it.
Really? I've never seen that one.
Really?
Yeah, look, you're going to want to go and find something amazingly unhealthy that there's no way anyone would possibly make or eat, and yet there it is at the fair. But, you know, make it something that you're pretty sure you can stomach and maybe would even sound good. So don't do the deep fried stick of butter. But, you know, they do fried beer, they do fried Snickers bars, they do fried, find one of those weird foods and try them out.
You can get a deep fried stick of butter.
And then that way, when you walk away from the fair, you get to have a story that says, oh my God, can you believe they made that? And then people go, oh my God, that sounds disgusting. You say, well, I had one. And then you can tell your little story. It'll be awesome. The other thing to check out while you're at a fair, usually I only go to the fair if there's a concert I want to see. So
you could check out the real sketch amusement park rides.
Nope, don't go on the amusement park rides. They fall apart. The last fair I went to, we only went so we could see Theory of a Dead Man. So don't me. Shut up. So
did you know all their songs too?
And then if you're there early during the day, go around and see if they've got animals somewhere, because depending on the kind of fair it is and how large it is, sometimes there will be people showing animals at different parts of it. And so if you can go find the animal section, and you can check out the whatever the 4-H kids brought for horses and cows and ducks, and sometimes they'll have an exotic animal category and they'll bring hedgehogs and other stuff. And Some of them you're just looking at like the worst zoo in the world, but some of them, you know, they'll like have a pen of little baby chicks and ducks out there that you can just go grab them and pet them. They're cool. Or the rabbits or the, you know, so the animals are sometimes cool. It depends on the fair, but definitely go find some gross fair food just to say you've had gross fair food and have a good story for it. So, next up is from Kaz. Kaz says, excited for next week. This next week. Yes, that's exactly correct. You certainly are excited. What is your opinion of peanut butter fudge? Well, who doesn't like peanut butter fudge? I don't care for chocolate fudge so much. It's a little heavy. I mean, I like it, but it's usually too rich for me anyway. But peanut butter fudge is great. Vanilla fudge is great. But yeah, no, peanut butter fudge is awesome. I love peanut butter. Peanut butter
I
is great.
Don't like peanut butter.
You're an idiot.
I like peanut it in small awesome. Quantities, but to just eat peanut butter straight in any form? Peanut brittle, peanut butter fudge. I walked in when I went to John and Sam's earlier. I walked in to John just eating chunky peanut butter straight from the jar.
Because he's poor, and peanut butter's good.
I mean, I agree with one of those statements.
Peanut butter's so awesome. So, yeah, I guess I thought I had more to say on that, but I don't. Last up is Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, okay, Mike, give us your best evil laugh. Eli, I just realized how awful it's going to be this week because I'm going to be away at Gen Con. I'm going to be gone for the whole week, and you have to go to school, and I'm going to miss you so much. It's going to be heartbreaking. It's going to be so sad, and I will be miserable. No, that's you. You're going to be miserable. I'm going to be having a great time. Is that not the evil laugh you wanted?
That's not what they're looking for.
No, I know it's not. Go ahead, give them one.
God, I'm trying to get into character here.
That's not bad.
It's about all
you want to start off with a mwahaha?
No.
Mwahaha.
No one actually does that.
Vampires do.
No one actually does that.
I saw the Twilight movies. They all did it.
No, none of them did it.
You haven't watched the Twilight movies. Aha. Gotcha. All right. That's the end. So thank you guys for showing up. Thank you, Aiden. I felt this was a spectacular episode. Yeah. And I felt like, I don't know if it showed up for you guys, but I feel like we were just really comfortable. Like, this was a really good back and forth. I think Aiden's getting stronger with knowing when to interrupt me and how to get me to shut the hell up. Because I ramble. And so a lot of times he doesn't get a word in edgewise. And he's getting really good at cutting me off. or even just giving me a high sign so I know that, shoot, it's my turn to shut up. Okay. And I think the balance was really good today. I really enjoyed this. So thank you.
Okay, because I was, in my head, I was wondering if you were purposefully rambling, waiting for me to cut you off, and that's why I wasn't, is I was waiting for you to keep rambling and then look at me like, please cut me off, and be like, yeah, okay, yeah, I agree, yeah.
No, that was it. I just wanted to give you a compliment.
All right.
And hey, I felt good about this one. So the listeners probably hated it. This is the worst episode we've ever done. The sound's been all messed up the whole time. We had no idea. But thank you guys for showing up. I will be thinking of all of you while I'm in Indianapolis.
Not me.
And yeah, not him. Whatever.
I'll be thinking mostly of Pat.
Well, Pat's the big spoon. So
I know.
It's going to be a great time. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for contributing and sending in stuff for me. And I love you guys. And I will hopefully we'll be recording from Gen Con next week. Hopefully we actually do it this time because I've got the big mic and we can do a round table and anyone who wants to sit in can sit in. It'll be kind of cool. All right. But otherwise, later days. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold the phone. I can't stop it here because I said goodbye. I clicked off. And then since I'm in Facebook, I just hit home. And the first thing that comes up is a post from Nelly saying, this is our Gen Con room. And it's a train car. They're in a train car. How do you? Oh my God. I am so jealous. How do I get that room? I didn't even know train car was an option. That's amazing. I am so jealous. That's gotta be an amazing stay. I am glad for you and I am jealous, but that's cool. She's staying in a train car for a week For Gen Con. And it looks like it's inside the building. So, I mean, is it just part of the hotel? Is it? That is crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. Now I'm done. I'm gone. No more words. I'm out. Good night.